Why are they called temptations? Because they are tempting. So the fact that you have a story to tell me about the, in quotes, blessing that came with it is no proof that you are doing that which is right. And I started by explaining the issue of value system, how life carries you. Which one do I do? You know, a lot of those questions are difficult to answer at that point because the value system, you know, I tell you that my wife is a very nice woman, so she tries to change the world. Sometimes I tell her, listen, the person you are counseling, wait. Who told you he or she believes the things you believe? I don't know whether you get my point. Sometimes there are people who ask me for advice, I just don't even know. That's why I don't counsel strangers. I don't. It's my rule. If I don't know you, don't ask me for advice. Say, Pastor Banky, please, I want to talk to you. About what? I'm having challenges. Who doesn't have challenges? My friend Claire. Who does not have challenges? Now, you know my reason? Somebody will start speaking. By the time they finish speaking, I realize that he needs to listen to Spiritual Economics, 13 messages. Am I supposed to preach 13 messages to one person? When the young man saw me down, they said, oh, God, we need to talk. Me, you talk. If I beat you now, they say I'm wicked. I said, what are we talking about? My friend, no, I'm serious. When you're far younger than me, I can be quite brash. What are we talking about? Don't get away from there. Because I'm a pastor, I think you can just talk to me anyhow. I'm not talking to you. Sorry, sir. I said, go upstairs. It was downstairs here. Go upstairs. Go and buy books, CDs and all of that. Listen to them first. Then we'll start talking. He took my advice. He came, bought books and CDs and settled down and listened. Then we could talk. You know, now we are speaking the same language. Not that you're on base 10, I'm on base 8. You follow my point? How are we supposed to communicate? That's why I don't like talking to strangers. People who are here with me, those days, a young man came all the way from Musuka and said, I wanted to talk to me. I said, for what? I said, look, go and talk to Mr. Meka. He begged me, I refused. So while he was there, I got up and walked away. What am I talking? I said, talk to Mr. Meka first. If he tells you that you talk to me, I will listen to you. People go, say, I want to talk to you. I said, go and talk to Yinka. I said, Yinka knows everything I know. Whatever he tells you is what I said. That when they now say, look, I should talk to you, I will. You know my reason? Not because I'm feeling too quiet with myself. It is because a lot of times people come, they expect me to preach messages that we sat here for 2 years, Tuesdays and Saturdays. They haven't heard any part of it. The only way I can help them, that's where I'm going, is that I have to retrain their minds. The decision they are trying to make, of course I can't tell you, do this or don't do that. I will not be responsible for your decisions. But we can't communicate because we are not even reasoning about life in the same frequency. A young man sent me a mail once, believing that I would be of help, that, sir, a great door has opened. A great door. He needed, this was many years ago, he needed 10,000 naira to tap into that door. What is the door? He can now go to Canada. A third year engineering student abandoning his studies in Nigeria to go to Canada. He did not know he was writing to. I don't know whether I get my point. He thought I was a typical Nigerian who believes that, oh, Father in heaven, you're going to North America. Great open door. What do you mean? Open door to what? Premature death or destiny? I don't understand. I remember when when Mnet Face of Africa, they said it's an opportunity. I said, all of you are stupid. 17-year-old, you are taken out to New York to be walking half naked in front of demon-possessed men. You tell me it's an opportunity. You are mad. What is the opportunity in it? Mnet now wants to lie to us that when they gave her the opportunity, she was selling bread. It's a lie. The girl was not selling bread. She was a student who sold bread in the evening for her parents. In case you did not know, Fole Adeola, founder of GTB, used to sell orange. Fole Adeola used to hawk orange. Jimo Ibrahim, maybe now Okpada one too they sell. Who didn't sell what? They said, look at it. Mnet is giving them opportunity. The last time I saw it's Oluchi I wanted to say. It's Oluchi. Last time I saw her, She was a mass of bone with tissue wrapped on it. They called it model. Was wearing pata with her legs open like this. I don't know what he was. I said, look at this. Sorry, Agbani Darego. Sorry, that I said, but it's all which I wanted to say when I was saying earlier. Eminent Face of Africa. Then they said that it's our opportunity. Now, I'm talking about perspective. I said, what opportunity? They said they are sending her to school. They withdrew that girl from school. I hope you realize that. They said they gave her $150,000. A fat lie. They gave her a $50,000 a year contract for 3 years to work naked. She was going to work for every dollar they were going to give her. At that age, that's the age they catch all of them abroad. What nonsense. Cheap labor. They grabbed that girl $50,000. Cheap labor. And you see girls be paying money. They want to go M&M Face of Africa. You don't have value now. You're confused. You think once you cross these shores, a dollar a day for a road. All the men in New York will sleep with you before they give you anything. Rant nonsense. I remember I told them, I said, she's my sister, she ain't going anywhere. She's not going anywhere. Our family's life does not consist in the abundance of dollars you are going to give. That my little sister is going to work hard for like a slave. What nonsense. M-Nefes of Africa is a satanic principle. I make bold to say it. Those guys are tapping. They are, oh God, it's iniquity. I'm not talking about Miss Ward. Miss Ward, no, really, I have no problem with that. I look at the structures about it. We're fine. You want to go and beauty contest, just come back home when you finish. But MNET, they will choose the best qualified girls all over Africa and milk them dry. After 5 years, you don't hear their names again. Some of them have been dumped in places. What am I talking about? There's no opportunity there. Then I said to people, listen, if Oluchi was my sister, she ain't going nowhere. She's going to go back to school. She's going to graduate. God is going to help us. She will finish her school. She will become anything. She can become a teacher, a lawyer, an engineer, a politician, a housewife, whatever she desires. She will be. But you're not going to turn her to a model in New York for me. I'm sorry. I don't consider that an opportunity. When that young man wrote me then, he said, opportunity, I looked at him, and at the mail, I shook my head. I said, this boy does not know who he's writing to. That I will bring out my 10,000 naira and help you walk out of destiny. Am I stupid? Why should a student who is a third or fourth year engineering student in school expect that traveling to Canada without a degree is breakthrough? Why don't you finish that school? Get that B engine, all right? Try and get yourself a very good grade. Do an MSc. Get a good job. Design something. Then travel anywhere you want. I knew that if I walked over to Canada, they would have become a non-entity. People who have done it, they've realized it now. The best way to go abroad, talking a natural plane now, is to go with a certificate. On a natural plane. People will see, they will recognize your learning. Not you. The Lord is good. What am I talking about? So that's the problem I often have with people. They want counsel. The truth is that they don't know anything. We're not thinking of the same frequency. And a lot of the questions they are asking is because of the wrong value system. That's why, this is a matter of fact, many times people have come to me, ask questions, I say, have you read that book? Have you read this one? No. Go and read them. Come back. We'll talk after. 9 times out of 10, they will come back and say, I don't need to talk to you again. I mean that literally. The person finished talking. I said, have you read this particular book? The fellow said no. I said, go and read it. Ask them to give you this particular CD. Buy that CD, go and listen to it. When you finish, come back. And they always come back and say, thank you, sir. No, we don't need to talk. I have my answers. I remember my friend, I was telling you about Pastor Courage when he was in school. Because he was born in UK, his sister was living there. And I said, look, listen, The way Nigeria is, let's arrange. He was supposed to leave school. He was studying economics. To leave school and then go to London and go and start living there. And he didn't think there was a problem with it. So they were working on it, all right? They were working on it and all of that. Then when they told a friend of his, and as soon as he finished saying it, the friend said, "That's very good, though. Just make sure it's the will of God." These were his words. He said, as soon as he said it, I knew it was not. June 1st made it 15 years that he started the church in Sokoto. It's easy to decide what is right and what is wrong if you just learn God's value system. A better paying job is not necessarily the will of God. Once you just know that, if you're a minister, it is not true that the reason why your church is not growing is because you are not in the city where there are many people. Were you not sent to a particular set of people? Were you sent for church growth? Ministers are not sent for church growth. Are you getting my point? They are sent to do what? Preach the gospel. Maybe I should add that one to it. A preacher's life does not consist in the abundance of people that he gathers on Sundays. I hope you understand what I'm trying to explain. That's why people have used all kinds of things to gather people to church. Bishop Oyedepo used to say those days, some people come and say it's because the music is good. So they go and buy big instruments, hire singers who are musicians, two-faced, to come to church and give special number. Praise God, amen. It's not easy. They turn to your neighbor and say, "One love." All we need is one love. We'll go around, everybody, one love. Why? You want to grow church? Say, "Praise God, were you blessed today?" Next Sunday, we're going to have Michael Jackson right here. If your boy is dead, forget. Because you think God sent you to go and gather a crowd. No, he sent you to go and preach the gospel. And as you preach the gospel, those that need to hear it will gather around you. Are you getting my point? Bishop said, if you gather a crowd with music, better music will soon come to town. I'm telling you, after Two-Face finishes ministering for you, Usher will land town. That's it. All of them have gone to National Stadium to go and watch somebody else. We are talking about Moses' value system. It was easy for Moses to walk out of the palace because of the value system he had. The Bible says, go back there. It said he considered the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures of Egypt. It's a value system. It's a value system. The reproach of Christ for him was better than the treasures of Egypt. I tell you all the time this testimony. You know, it's not every testimony that is about how I got money. I gave my friend who was around this morning, some of you saw him. Yesterday when I got home, I gave him a testimony. And I said, "Oh, let me give you a testimony." When I finished, it dawned on him that my testimony was not how I got, it was how I give. Are you getting my point? It's not how I got, but how I what? I gave. That was the testimony. I just said, see what God did. This is what God did. At the end of the day, this now happened. And that was the end of the testimony. I was able to give something apparently in line with the commandment of the Holy Spirit. So what I was just explaining to him was how I discovered it was the Holy Spirit. I'm saying something. The mistake we make a lot of times, we think every testimony must end with, "Praise God. Do you know, after I left that company, and then they were paying me 1 million. And the next place I went, I didn't know it was that much. The next is now 6 million. And the whole place we erupt. Woo, 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 woo." And that's it. You're confusing young people. Think everything must end with greater material, blessing. That my friend, Pastor Corey, that was telling you about. He did something many years ago, went for our convention. You've heard me, some of you may have heard me tell the story. When they say, "Okay, we need to introduce ourselves. The young people there. Well, we're not so many who are the senior people now. We don't bother anymore, all right? But then, your older people will come and say, my name is so-and-so. My name is Banky. This is what I do. So he said something when it was his turn to introduce himself. He said, I've noticed something here. That anytime somebody comes and says, I'm Brother ABC, I work in Shell, that the ovation from the students is quite loud. Somebody comes and says, I'm Brother XYZ, I work with MTN. He said, the ovation is quite, and we have quite a number of people there, brethren that work in Glow, you know, MTN, banks, and all of that. He said, I've noticed that if somebody comes and says, I work in Guarantee Trust, people will clap. He said, please, clap for me first before I tell you what I do. So everybody clapped. Then I said, yes, my name is Courage Ode. I am the founding pastor of Love Revival Ministries in Sokoto. So that in case you were not planning to clap, I've collected my clap first. I never forgot that thing because it shows a vanity in the hearts of many young believers. Yes, I was there. They actually used to clap when somebody says, praise God. I'm a manager in one bank. I work with MTN. I work with Glow. I work in Shell. I work in LNG. I work, you know, mention all those fat names. Money speaking. Young boys and girls will clap. But literally, they wouldn't clap that much. If the man said, I am the pastor of a church that we started about 4 years ago in Enugu, and we are reaching this particular class of people. Oh, praise God. You're working for God. Amen. You know, that's all. And you go. My message to us today, this is a lesson from Moses, is that we must have a different value system. Your success in life is not reflected by how much you earn. A lot of people, the financial abundance is a sign of failure. Yes. Like I say all the time, if Jesus had bowed to Satan, he would have been richer than Bill Gates, materially speaking. That was the deal. Look at all the stock of Facebook and MTN and DSTV and Microsoft and Apple. I will give them to you. That was what Satan told him. All the kingdoms, said they've been delivered to me. If you will now bow down and worship me. And many people have worshipped. And listen, you know, another mistake we make talking about sin. We think idol worship is when we go and buy stone, carve it, paint it, put eyes, put ears, and put a staff in its hand. Then pour libation and bow. That's not idol worship. Very few people do that these days. These things, they always morph. That is, they change. Slavery changes appearance. There was a time slavery was chains. You understand my point? A whip on your back. But now that's not slavery anymore. Go to the United States. You see what they call slavery. My friend talking to me is a physician in Texas. When the time he was in New York, he said there was a time he had a patient. This patient's heart was about to fail. He had an acute heart problem. They brought him to the hospital. So after they finished checking him, they stabilized him. They said, you need to have heart surgery. We need to correct some things in the blood vessels running around your heart. That meant he had to be in hospital for a while. And said the man said, sorry, I have to walk. He said, he talked to the man and said, sir, you don't seem to understand. If you get up here and leave, you could drop dead. The man got up, left, and said, I have to walk. He was a taxi driver in New York. Why? Look, my friend was telling me, he said, listen, that this system is arranged in such a manner that you have to work. Like Robert Kiyosaki said, an average American is 2 paychecks away from bankruptcy. So see, slavery has morphed. It has changed. It's not chains and whip anymore now. It's no problem. Don't have this $20 by next week. We'll collect your car, kick you out of the house, take all the things you have bought. So people are in slavery. They work morning till night. They don't need a physical master now whipping their backs. They are just, there's a spirit. The spirit did not disappear. It just changed its manifestation. In the same manner, idolatry is like that. They don't go to shrines anymore and bow. But in their hearts, by their actions, they worship Satan every day. You watch it. What do they do with their money? They are competing with those who don't even know they are there. He has bought a Galaxy S3. If the man has to buy an iPhone 4S plus 1, whatever. Because it's competing with somebody. It's idolatry. Christmas is coming, he has to go to the village. So every bit of money he has must go to buying a car that's tall, even though he doesn't need it. A small car will do well for him. But he has to show that his stay in Enugu has been successful. What is idolatry? Once you operate against the word of God, it's idolatry. If Jesus said a man's life does not consist in the abundance of things which he possesses, if you say it does, you are an idolater. You are getting the point I'm making. The Bible says it's the passing pleasures of sin. He esteemed the reproach of Christ. Let me try and finish my message. Maybe I'll continue from here. Let me just say something. We'll continue developing it. Obeying God can bring you reproach. What did I say? It can bring reproach. You are not obeying God until people start laughing at you. Honestly. Oswald Chambers said that the cost of discipleship is not actually what it costs you. He says, it's what it costs the people that you love. Are you getting my point? That is, it is the effect it starts having on people around you. Talking about how to value your life. Now, I've mentioned this. Okay, the other time I was telling you about testimonies. Okay, that's why I was talking about testimony. That this is my testimony I've shared with you several times. One day I was at home. My mother said, your mates are building houses. This was many years ago. Well, not many now, maybe like 5 years now. And I said to her in simple words, how many of them are teaching the way of success? Yes, I had friends, childhood friends, age mates, classmates, many of them living in their own homes. I'm not talking about, some people just go and get 250 square meters, Bishop. And then they put two rooms, like some of those rooms down here. Do you look from? Yeah, go and just look down. You see what I'm talking about? Just carve two of those rooms, put it there, and they say it's my house. No, that's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about homes that if in today's Nigeria you sold, you collect 50 million naira, 60 million naira. Good houses. They were my age mate, classmates, childhood friends, some of them. So of course, my mother, typical mother, your mates are building houses. And I answered in simple terms. How many of them are teaching the way of success? That's what I wanted to say earlier when I was talking about testimony. That testimony is not always how you got something. That is my testimony. In simple terms, I said some people were sent to be building houses. Some were sent to teach the way of success. That's the name of our radio broadcast that time. I work in an academic environment. Paul said, I magnify my office. I have friends that have 45 publications. I tell them I have 16 books, religious books I have written. Here on Purpose, The Blessing, The Law of Life, So We Pay for This, The Believer, Choices Key to Destiny, How to Work for God, Great Faith Can Be Yours, By Faith Acquire Life. So, should I say yes? I'll count it for you. Hey, don't forget, 17 tracts. The Visitation of God. The Lord is My Shepherd. Another one, I shall not want. The Redemption That Is in Christ. Cheerful Giver. This Is Faith. Dare to Believe. Daniel. Yes. I said, those are also my publications. I'm a professor of Christianity. That's why I preach, learn how to value your life correctly. Because obeying God can bring you reproach. Let me just get back to that. Say it and then we'll finish. It can bring reproach to your life. It's worse when it's your father or your mother. What is wrong with this boy? I have a testimony again. Since I was young, much younger, I was in university, my mother knew I was different. My siblings knew I was different. I still remember my elder brother then making a joke in the house. This was 1989.
He was saying if Deji comes to stay with me, that the boy will suffer. Many of you knew Deji, the smallest in the house. I said, why? He said, you will leave him at home and go for a crusade. He said, when the boy is sick, nobody will take care of him. He said, if he comes to stay with me, I'll take very good care of him. I'll give him money, I'll take good care of him. My brother wanted to be rich, wanted to be successful in life. He said, oh, you have an elder brother? No. He died in 92, all right, and a rotary accident. But he was alive and well then. So we're just in our home. So he said, but you, if the boy is sick, you just come, you look, say, in Jesus' name, and you run away. And the whole house scattered. They were laughing at me. That was 88, 89, thereabout. Everybody was laughing. So for a long time, they always knew I was square. I remember once my mother and I were speaking. You know, you can understand, she's a woman, you know, she's a mother. Maybe a cousin of mine just sent down two cars who came from me. He had emigrated to Germany those days. Then you hear that this person is now there. I just helped the father finish their house. You know, stuff like that. This going abroad must really be lucrative. So, my mother, I remember that they were standing in front of the house, they were just talking. So, just say, but I'm a doctor, you understand my point? And doctors were the ones that used to travel relatively easily and make it, you know, abroad. Banky, you know, like, have you considered this abroad they are talking about? I said, Archbishop Benson Idahosa said, a lizard in Nigeria will not become an alligator in America. My mother said, I know that's what you will say. I said, yes, that's what I'm going to say. Thank you. That's what I'm going to say. That's what I'm going to say. Now I've said it, leave me alone. No, I still remember very well. She had not finished saying it. I said, Archbishop Benson Idahosa said, a lizard in Nigeria will not become an alligator in America. Say, Pastor Balke, how could you make those decisions? Listen, it's value system. It's value system. I was going to preach, and you are not going to use the promise of easy success to distract me from it. You read my book, should I say yes? One of the key things I looked for in a wife is the woman must believe I can preach. So every woman I spoke to who argued with me with the scriptures, I left you alone. I don't mean you are wrong. I just mean you are not my wife. Now marry a bigger pastor. Because I knew I was going to preach. And I wasn't planning to marry a wife that thinks I'm wasting my time. Like I wrote in that book, should I say yes? Did I get what I wanted? Yes. One day, one of my students stopped me on the road. She's a resident at UNTH now. He said, excuse me, sir. I heard your name on radio today. What happened? Oh, your wife sent you, this request. Play a song for my husband, that kind of thing. He said, oh, my hero, my this. The girl looked me like, oh, God. Oh, my God. Your wife, she loves you, worship you. And then one day she bought me a book. Said to my mentor, teacher, and husband. I said, good. So we can now go and do Kingdom World Ministries. Like Pastor Kpoju said, if your mother thinks you are not called, you are not called. If your wife thinks you are not called, oh boy, you are not called. The Lord is good. I said, the Lord is good. So I was recently, I have to be sure. I have to be sure. I'm going to marry a woman that proves to you that you are not called. You wake up in the morning and say, fake pastor, he's going again. Your ministry is dead before you began. What have I said today? Moses had a different value system. And that was what guided his decisions. You understand that? That was what guided his decisions. And once you have a value system, it carries you in life. It helps you resist temptations, or it exposes you to temptations. Moses said, no. Sin is not just that, I did something that's morally wrong. If I'm not in the place where God expects me to be, my whole life is a sin. The lesson from Moses, we must learn God's value system. It's more important that we are walking in his will and doing that he called us to do than to be materially successful, especially in the eyes
of people. I hope you've understood my point today.